Welcome. Today I have the great honor of doing an interview with my colleague, Emerson Murray. He is the program editor for Society, Culture, and International Relations here at the NATO Association of Canada. I'd like to begin by asking you a question about your background. Can you tell our audience more about your academic background along with the work that you're currently doing here at the NATO Association of Canada?
So I'm currently the program editor of Society, Culture, and International Relations at the NATO Association of Canada. I also do digital copy editing for the NAOC website, along with running the weekly editors forum, which is sort of our opinion section. I'm a political studies student at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, going into my final year and looking at an academic career, eventually pursuing a master's and a PhD in political science.
And obviously with the work that you've done, what would you say have been some of the most rewarding and challenging aspects associated with your time here over the past few months?
Well, I definitely think it is rewarding being the program editor for Society, Culture, and International Relations. That is sort of the category that you can really write anything, you know, about anything that you want to. So I've had several articles, you know, different themes come in about things ranging from, you know, Brexit to the transgender bathroom rights controversy in Canada. I've written some things about myself about American politics, so it's a lot of variety. You know, you can do sort of political commentary, social commentary, etc., which, you know, I think is quite interesting. And it sort of gets away, you know, from the hardcore realist IR theme of many articles of the organization that we do have.
And obviously for those who are perhaps interested in applying for an internship to become a program editor here at the NATO Association of Canada, what is the best advice that you can provide to those who are considering that option?
I think, first of all, you know, getting experience with some sort of on-campus publishing at your own university. I know for myself, I was the editor-in-chief of an on-campus international relations quarterly for 2 years at Queen's, the Queen's National Observer, which has been around for about 11 years, but was recently incorporated with the International Relations Society at Queen's, the Queen's International Affairs Association. From that experience, I was able to see sort of, you know, how the publication process works, how to do journalistic writing, and also how to edit journalistic writing. So it definitely helps me with developing a writing sample for the internship, as, you know, a big emphasis as part of this internship is publishing, is writing. And since I also do digital copy editing, you know, being able to develop an eye for things like formatting, which tend to be quite important in journalistic publishing. And so having that experience, I definitely think, helped me in doing the application. Also working here, you know, for the day-to-day operations of, you know, working a publishing schedule, checking articles that they're correctly formatted, you know, the pictures are engaging, formatted correctly, you know, nothing too pixelated, blurry, you know, all those sorts of mini, minuscule things that come up in publishing that you definitely have to watch out for. So having that on-campus publishing experience, I think, definitely helped, along with having research experience, doing undergraduate research, which I think we'll talk about a bit later.
Definitely. Emerson, I want to mention that over the past 8 months, I had an opportunity to work here as the program editor of Global Horizons, and currently I'm working as Canada's NATO podcast contributor and outreach coordinator. I want to mention to all of our listeners today that we do provide memberships, and we do have a lot of events, roundtables, and conferences that we put on throughout the year. Can you discuss any of the most rewarding moments that you've had the opportunity to take part in terms of being involved with any projects such as conferences, events, roundtables?
I think I would say, as far as the most rewarding experiences at the NATO Association of Canada, you know, besides just sort of the everyday being able to do publishing and editing and things like that, I think being able to help out with our recent 50th anniversary gala in honor of Brian Mulroney was actually pretty cool. Being able to see, you know, organization being able to, and I wasn't necessarily, like, you know, the big organizer for it. You know, I was very far from that. I was helping out, you know, greet people and help set up things, especially in, you know, the run-up to it. But just being able to see an organization such as ours, where we have about, you know, two major executive staff here daily, along with a bunch of interns, being a marketing coordinator, secretary, a receptionist, be able to put on something of that scale that made it into national headlines, you know, had very important, you know, figures in politics, etc. here. I think that was definitely, you know, a highlight of my experience here.
And I think we have such a strong team of program editors, junior research fellows. Mm-hmm. It's truly one of those places where you come in and you can see everyone focusing on their programs.
Yeah, definitely.
So I've been provided with so many opportunities mm-hmm. to see every program editor work on, you know, their
yeah.
program. And it's one of those places where if you have an idea or you feel like you want to take part in assisting with a conference or an event or a roundtable, it's certainly a place where you can present your ideas, and it's certainly a place where you can get involved. So this is leading up to a question that I want to ask you about the memberships that we provide here. For a lot of our listeners, we have students, we have members of the community who have become members and are currently members. So aside from the roundtables, the conferences, and the events that we hold throughout the year, can you discuss some of the benefits associated with being affiliated with an association such as ours?
Well, being affiliated with the NATO Association of Canada, you definitely get the benefit of just sort of knowing what's going on in the field. You know, it sort of forces you, especially working here, to know what events are putting on, what conferences that you can go to. I've been to a couple of roundtables, went to a roundtable on citizenship, for example, that, you know, the citizenship judge Albert Wong spoke at, along with the Canada-Albania Council co-hosting with us for promoting tourism in Albania. You know, just being a member here, you get, you know, the weekly updates, etc., and just sort of knowing that happens, it definitely allows you to put your foot in the door when you want, and for, you know, to tailor the membership towards your own goals. So for me, I'm looking more so at an academic career rather than, you know, stepping out of the private sector, non-governmental organizations, working in government. So I've been able to, you know, talk to some PhD students who are also here.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that a lot of potential candidates and for those who are interested in mm-hmm. becoming an intern should take into account is we certainly do put on the events and the conferences
yeah.
roundtables throughout the year. So for anyone listening to this podcast, if you're interested in becoming a member, what I encourage for you to do is to definitely come out to any of our events. You can go on the NATO Association of Canada's yeah. website, click on the events tab, and you'll see all of our upcoming events. And if it's something that's of interest to you, if you're a student, you can certainly become a member. If you're just a member of the general public, you're
yeah.
more than welcome to come out and to engage.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty behind the work that we do here is, yes, we do have a team of program editors. We have, you know, programs ranging from your program, Society, Culture, and International Relations, to Lyra's program, Global Horizons, and every program editor is responsible for managing their program. And the publications that get released are of high quality, and they get released every week. And in addition to managing one's program, a program editor also has a junior research fellow, someone that writes for them, and they edit, they go through an editing process where they review the article that has been submitted before it gets published. Last summer, you were an undergraduate research fellow, as you mentioned, at the Bader International Studies Center at Queen's University in Hailsham, United Kingdom. This is where you studied reproductive rights and abortion access in Canada. Can you please discuss your experience serving as an undergraduate research fellow, along with some of the challenges associated with reproductive rights and abortion access in Canada?
So this was a summer research fellowship. It's part of the undergraduate student summer research fellowship program that Queen's University has recently put on for the past few years. It's targeted at arts and humanities, social science students who want to conduct research, especially in areas that don't really get too much external funding for the undergraduate level. So what it entailed was essentially going into sort of an application process. I think the applicant pool for my specific fellowship had about 25 people to start with. And I had been selected, so I received funding, not only payment for doing the research, but alongside coverage of travel costs, accommodation, meal plans. So Queen's actually has a secondary campus in South England, Hurstmonceux Castle, and they actually run a first-year program there, so students can spend their first year, not just from Queen's, but also I know students from other universities, especially in Canada, do participate in that, and they go back to their home institution for the rest of their degree. And they also have a summer program there. So I was there while summer courses were taking place under the supervision of a political studies, gender studies professor who actually did her PhD at Queen's. And so our focus was working on her manuscript about abortion access in Canada and the challenges that continue. Because when we think about abortion, you know, people don't really realize that in Canada, access is quite limited in many areas. So despite the fact that we had in the late 80s, a Supreme Court decision that ruled that, you know, restrictions on abortion, or legal restrictions on abortion, were a violation of, you know, women's security of the person. The access component has, you know, not necessarily been followed through. So while, you know, there has been no law put in on abortion at the federal level, there's no laws restricting it, but there's also no law or, you know, any sort of constitutional guarantee that women can access the procedure. So what happened was in the, you know, in the fallout of the Morgenthaler decision, abortion was deemed a medical issue. That's sort of, you know, what my professor really highlights in her manuscript. And it was delegated to the different provinces. So the provinces had responsibility for providing abortion rather than the federal level. And in doing so, you had access very widely across Canada, across the provinces, and you saw, for example, in Quebec, you know, you have very good access relative to what you have across the rest of Canada. You have a population that is, you know, 95% pro-choice. The province itself has more than half of the country's abortion clinics in comparison to PEI, which has no clinics at all, or New Brunswick, which until recently still had laws that required women to get the consent of two doctors, that would only fund or publicly fund abortions provided in hospitals, and only certain hospitals would be equipped to provide the procedure. And access, for example, for women in rural areas is quite restricted. So the situation, you know, for abortion access in Canada is actually quite disparate, even though we tend to pay most of our attention, you know, down south, where you have politicians actively, you know, trying to pass restrictions against abortion, or, you know, trying to shut down clinics through any legal means possible. Here, it's still, you know, a matter of, you know, women's equality and women's citizenship that is very much unprotected. It is, I think it's necessary, and that's the sort of the argument that a professor makes, is that abortion and access to abortion should be considered a right of citizenship, which currently in Canada it is not. It's not considered as such due to, you know, such disparities in access, you know, the lack of constitutional protections of abortion besides, you know, governmental non-interference, you know, with the access component, it's not there. The focus of her manuscript over the summer, and that's sort of what I worked on. And it was quite a rewarding experience. You got to see sort of how the publication process for academic manuscripts work. You know, you got to have insights on what the life of, you know, professor is outside of the classroom, what their focus is on, and it definitely inspired me to want to pursue my own academic career, which is what I'm looking at right now.
Where would you say you see yourself a few years from now?
Well, considering how long it takes to do graduate school, probably still in graduate
school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emerson, over the past couple months, I've had an opportunity to work with you, and it's been a complete pleasure having the, you know, the chance to see you work. Obviously, you're someone who's committed to the NATO Association of Canada. I had an opportunity to look at your work. So for those who are interested in perhaps contacting you directly, what is the best way for listeners to contact you?
Probably by email.
By email. And what's your email?
So Emerson, E-M-E-R-S-O-N, dot Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, at queensu.ca, or Q-U-E-E-N-S-U.
Emerson, thank you so much for this interview. Are there any final words that you'd like to leave for our listeners today?
Well, thank you very much for having me.